Welcome to Paul Don Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Randy Johnson. He's the Vice President of Sales at N2Power. They make small, high-efficiency power supplies. We're going to talk about power supplies and power efficiency, as a matter of fact. So, hi, Randy. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. You know, obviously, since you're in the high-efficiency space, you're going to be an advocate for high-efficiency systems, but obviously, efficiency and performance do impact ROI, correct?
That is correct, Alex. A lot of people don't understand that. They just think that they have green power supplies, but they don't understand the end effect as far as what does green mean.
Well, what does green mean, Randy?
That's a great question, Alex. Green usually is affecting the efficiency of a product. And within power supplies, it's very important that you have high efficiencies for a couple of different reasons. One of the reasons is that whatever the difference between 100% efficiency and the current efficiency of the power supply is dissipated in heat. And as you and I both know, heat is not necessarily a good character to have in your product. You know, we always say, quote unquote, heat kills. So the higher the efficiency of your power supply, the less heat that gets expanded to the rest of your product. And that relates then into a MTBF of a higher amount, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and also, Randy, to be fair, there are people marketing products that are quote-unquote green that target the materials involved, and they may be, for example, a relatively inefficient power supply but made without any exotic chemistries or materials or, you know, conflict-free tantalum or something along those lines.
Yeah, a lot of the materials that are in the power supply are critical to not only just the efficiency of the power supply, but of the longevity and just different features that the end user is looking for. One of the things that I know on the data centers that are happening is that they're looking for longevity of power supplies for the MTBF that we talked about, but also in saving energy because the energy that's the electricity that's coming out of the wall, you're paying for 100% of that. And then whatever the difference is for the efficiencies, like I said, you're losing in heat, but you're also losing as far as payment costs to the electricity company. So if you're paying $10,000 a month as your electrical bill, and you have an 80% efficient data center for the power supplies that are in there, you're paying $2,000 basically for nothing.
Inefficiency.
The higher the efficiency is, the more that you use electricity, and the more savings, and the total cost of ownership is a much greater return on your investment.
Well, that's a very very graphic way of putting it. It's, you know, I've heard a lot of different ways of expressing the cost, and that's an interesting way to put it. But you're right. Essentially, that cost represents what you are. You're billing yourself for your inefficiency.
Correct. That is correct.
That's interesting. So now, aside from that, what are the other? You've got your heat, which is, of course, applies to longevity, and you've got efficiency, which applies to cost and heat. What are the other factors involved? Obviously, form factor is an issue because larger and smaller make a difference. Versus, you know, depending on your application space, some products have no space constraints, and some obviously have significant space constraints. Right.
That is correct. And different markets demand different things. You know, if you look at the POS terminals, you know, they have constraints because of counter space and form factor that they're in as far as a electronic cash register. If you look at the telecom marketplace, they're in 19-inch racks, and so they are conformed to usually 1U high is what they're looking for in the power supplies, because back in the dot-com industry, that was the gating factor as far as height within the rack space there. But now you can actually do a 1U rack and put more of your products in a rack versus if it was 2U or 3U. So space savings is very important in a lot of the different end products for the OEM.
Is it a direct trade-off size for efficiency? I mean, is it always going to be an assumption that the more efficient supply is going to be smaller, or is it sometimes that the topology lends itself to a different board layout?
Yeah, there's definitely different board layouts for size and efficiencies. And it's actually easier to be more efficient when you're larger, because you could you use more room of, like you said, the board in getting the larger components in, or component spacing, you know, that's available for you. When it's smaller, it's really, really difficult to keep that efficiency higher. Two reasons is that, one is your spacing is so tight, and that also affects in your EMI, which has nothing to do with heat, but it's a harder product to develop. And that's one of the things that we try to do at Intu Power is develop very, very small, very high efficient power supplies that meet all the criteria for the compliance within the industry.
Well, you know, and actually, Randy, that makes a lot of sense, because you could jump through all kinds of hoops to achieve your efficiency, and then totally have the supply, you know, useless, because either you're doing it for a medical app and there's too much leakage, or, you know, the performance parameters in some other aspect render the device unsuitable.
Yeah, that is correct. One of the things that we try to do, in addition to just the efficiency side of it and the size side of it, is put features in so that the OEM does not have to do that from his side. You know, one of the key things that Intu Power does is put in current sharing circuitry and O-ring diodes. So that allows the OEM not to do that from their side when they're looking at, you know, any kind of redundancies or current sharings within their product features. That's very important for us then to utilize the feature as well as then the size to explain, you know, how we can save, you know, cost to the end user for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you give us an example of something you've come up with recently that addresses those points you were mentioning?
Yeah, we have a couple different products. We have a 3x5, 375-watt power supply. That's 1.5 inches or less than 1U high. And what we've done with that is come up with a couple different topologies and a couple different patents on there that allows us to get 94% efficient on the high-end voltage side of it, so 54, 56 volts. And then as you go down with your efficiencies within the voltages, you won't have nearly as much from the multiple outputs. You'll have less efficiency to the 12 volts. You'll have a little bit more efficiencies, and then the high-end voltages, you'll have your biggest efficiencies on there. So, you know, 375 is one of them, and then I can give you a peek into our roadmap where we're coming up with a 2x4 270-watt power supply. And that should probably be the most power-dense and, again, one of the most efficient power supplies in the marketplace. So that's kind of a peek into the future for our roadmap and what we're trying to do.
Well, you know, and you think about it, if you told somebody you'd get that kind of a power density 20 years ago, they'd laugh in your face.
Oh, definitely. When we came up, 12 years ago with the 3x5 multiple output 125-watt power supply, I think we were just one of two manufacturers at that time that actually had the ability to do that, and everybody was, you know, just wooing us as far as, wow, this is crazy. And just like a lot of the other electronic products that have shrunk in size, and, you know, we've been trying to do the same thing. You know, 125-watt 3x5, I think, is pretty standard, you know, across the industry right now. But 12 years ago, yeah, that was a key product for us.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing, convergence. What functionalities do you see inevitable on the horizon that you aren't integrating now, but you're thinking about integrating? I mean, obviously, digital controls are one of the things that are currently propagating through this power size. But what do you see as functionalities as far as convergence goes downstream?
It's definitely going digital. You know, we have, you know, the older products, which are analog/digital, and then we ended up with our XL275, a 275-watt that has the I2C PM bus that does the digital as far as monitoring. You know, it's a digital monitoring, you know, of temperature, of voltage, of input, you know, just the different things on there. But we really, to get better efficiencies and cost efficiencies, you know, down, you're going to have to go digital. And that's kind of what we did with our XL270 that I just talked about, the 2x4. We have two DSP processors, you know, on board with that. And that's really going to be the way of the future as far as able to do not only just housekeeping features, you know, on the power supply, but instead of changing caps and resistors and things to go from, you know, 13 volts to 15 volts, you know, it's going to be more of a firmware development where you can just go in and do a few keystrokes, right, and make sure that you can program that correctly. So it's a, in a way, a programmable type, you know, power supply for the future, so that you don't have to have 500 different models of different parts in developing that power supply.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's so much coming down, and especially when you start thinking about digital, you know, just that alone. There's so much coming down that the engineers got to really be on top of and understand and encompass. Obviously, you've got things to help the engineer out. You know, you've got people who can aid with design and all. Is there some way that they can reach out to you?
Yeah, you know, typically in the power supply industry, you have power supply design engineers, and those are hardware engineers. And you really didn't have a lot of different software or firmware engineers, you know, involved. But I think in the future, you know, we've got a couple of them right here, but in the future you're going to see power supply companies that have to employ, you know, the software talent that's needed to develop future digital power supplies. And it may not be next year, but it's definitely coming down the road, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now. I think you'll see a lot of that in the future.
Well, so, but when I said about reach out, obviously, I've, you know, everyone's got them, but I meant more, I was fishing for your URL, or is there a number that our audience can reach out to you at?
Oh, sure. Thanks. Yeah, N2Power is, you know, their website is just www.n2power.com. And we have all of our information and data sheets and things on there. And our phone number is 805-583-7744. And just ask for sales, and my extension directly is 203.
Wow!
And I like to appreciate that.
Well, Randy, you're an ambitious guy, given your direct line to a podcast. Although it's, I mean, I trust our audience that we'll only get in touch with you if they have a sincere question. But I have one question that is totally almost nonsensical, but it's just when you think about it, do you see a cap in power supply densities? Do you think that there is a threshold that you just can't go past?
You know what? If you would have asked me that question 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said yes. But, you know, recently with a lot of breakthroughs with technology, and it depends on the component circuitries, right, you know, as far as the breakthroughs there that make up a power supply. But I've seen a lot of breakthroughs where, you know, it's going to get smaller. I mean, it may take some time to get there, but we're looking at two by four power supplies. I've actually, you know, looked at and seen a design for a 1 by 1.5 power supply that was 85 watts. You know, I think it's going to happen. It just depends on what the breakthroughs on the different components and the circuitries that we have coming through, but definitely it's going to get smaller.
Well, this is also true. I just got back from APEC, and when you the between silicon carbide and gallium nitride, the high voltage space is definitely covered right now.
Correct.
Well, hey, Randy, is there anything you wanted to cover before we closed out this episode?
No, I just enjoyed talking with you, and hope to do so in the future, and if there's any questions that anybody has, they have both the number and the website to look for the information.
Excellent, excellent. Because we'll drag you back sometime in the future. We'll talk about where power supplies are going, because obviously it is a moving target.
That's for sure, Alex.
Okay, Randy. Well, thank you. I appreciate it to have you on the show. And like I said, we'll bring you back. And I'd also like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. So this is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.